Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, good to have you on the program.
It's great to be on the program. Thank you, Dr. Paul.
Wonderful. We're going to talk about inflation. And first thing off, I always like to try to restate the definition of inflation because there's a lot of distortion there. Most people see accept the idea that the establishment said that inflation is a CPI. You know, Keynesians like it, the politicians like it, the Federal Reserve likes it, but it's really a distraction, you know, from what causes it. And the inflation really is the messing around with the money supply, increasing the money supply, running up debt and all that. But they don't want you to think about that because then they have a solution. Quit the spending and quit the printing press money. So this is what people want to do is they want to distract from what we really have to do. But sort of the topic for today is inflation is starting to raise its ugly head. They've been getting away with these lies because, matter of fact, for years now, even recently, within a week, they say, well, we're working on it. And Powell was saying we were working on it, and we're just about at 2 now, and we could take a little bit more than 2, but we're not there yet. We have a lot of room for printing money, so, and that's the reassurance of the market. Of course, Yellen made a statement this week that suggested, well, you know, maybe we're going to have to use one of our tools and calm this down if people don't want to hear about it. So she retracts it and said that there's no reason to be cautious. This thing isn't going to last. And I agree with her. This inflationary binge right now that we're on, as a consequence of all the printing of money, it's not going to last as they're starting to worry about it. And they have a right to worry about it. And they have a right to think about it. And I guess it's good news that it won't last, except what is it going to turn to? Is it going to turn to sound money and market rates of interest and restraints on the printing presses? No, what they're doing is they're just scheduling. So if there is a change and it's just temporary, there's one way I can tell you they can get rid of it, and one way they will probably get rid of it, and one way that they're probably planning on getting rid of it because they have to get rid of the debt, and this is the way to, and that is, Chris, inflation, price inflation, CPI inflation, and all these things. Our job is to make sure that they have an understanding and a connection between prices going up and the value of the money going down, and that's the reason it is, and that's because we print too much money, and that's a story they're not interested in hearing, but more and more people will accept it, and then they'll start thinking, how do you protect oneself from this destruction of monetary value? And of course, that is a big question, and we do talk about that. Chris.
Yes, Dr. Paul, I am sure that the viewers of the Ron Paul Liberty Report are not surprised that the government is unable to forever just hand out trillions of dollars that it does not have and have the Federal Reserve print trillions of dollars out of thin air and to think that nothing is going to come of this. Here are some of the things that we see in the headlines. The price of corn has risen 142% in the last 12 months. Iron ore and steel are at all-time highs. Copper at 10-year high. Lumber has added to a new single-family home $36,000 to the price. So, you know, this should not be a surprise. We've been talking about that. You can't just print trillions of dollars. You're going to have inflation. Now, they will, and this we're also seeing, start to claim that, oh, this is short-lived. This is transitory. Yeah, like the Iraq War was going to last weeks, maybe months. And what about 15 days to flatten the curve? They're always going to act like, yes, this is expected. We have this under control. But this is the market. This is economic laws that we're talking about. When inflation goes 3%, 5%, 10%, you know, this is beyond the Fed's control, and they have created a major problem for themselves.
You know, even the bad news seems to help the stock market. And today, in a conventional sense, there was some bad news out there. They released the number of jobs that just came out, and they were expecting a new job report to show 1 to 2 million new jobs because we're recovering, you know, from the lockdown, and they're replacing it, and the economy is starting to boom again, and the stock market is doing wonderful, and stocks going up says the economy is doing great. So the report of 266, which was a surprise, guess what? The stock market hits another record high. I don't know whether that'll last the whole day through, but it's not going to last forever. But the immediate reaction, because there's such a, you know, such an excitement about this bull market, and nothing is going to stop it. So I'm sure people, laid back and said, "Oh yeah, well, this is negative news. We know it's negative news. We know it won't last. But we know that the Fed, if they think it's going to be negative news, they got to print more money and run up more debt." The other thing that we have to consider is, we were hearing these good statistics prior to the one this morning. There were a lot of new jobs, but it was sort of a condition. Nobody pointed out that it still didn't get us anywhere back to where it was. It was just a return of jobs, and percentage-wise, after coronavirus, which was an artificial. Not only do we have the business cycle correction, but we also have the burden of lockdown. So there were a lot of people put out of work. And so that's why they anticipated that the growth would continue. But a lot of the jobs that had been reported and they were optimistic about were just old jobs coming back. And some have pointed out that, guess what? It's the low-paying jobs that are coming back, and some of the really high-paying jobs, really aren't coming back. And the other shortcoming here is that there's a disconnect between the amount of jobs they say are available. We're looking for workers, we're short of workers. Well, that's what happens in a good economy. But the shortage of workers is artificial, because there was a lot of unintended consequences of printing all this money and all the bailouts. There's been nothing like these past year and a half, both Republicans and Democrats, administrations and Congresses. They had to bail out everybody, and still there's a demand for more and more bailouts, and that was supposed to take care of it. But we still have a lot of people, on the dole. 16 million people out there are still receiving cash at historic levels. Why go to work? I'll get a job when these checks quit. But the incentive is not there to go to work if the government keeps sending checks. But the other thing that they don't pay much attention to, except today, because they're talking more about price inflation, that they have to eventually get around to the point is, wages aren't, all that great when you take into the cost of living. And it is true that the low-paying jobs are coming back faster than the higher-paying jobs. So this is something that, is harder to deal with, because they might, even if they go back to work and they used to make $10 an hour, and they go back to work and they're making $15 an hour, and prices are going up faster than the government will admit to, that maybe they have a purchasing power of $9. I mean, that's just probably an exaggeration, but the principle is there that even with the wages going up, it's hard to measure, because everybody's cost of living varies. And then really they're getting less money, and also would increase the dependency on the handouts. So in the meantime, I think it'd be pretty hard to tell people who are offered a check for $1,600, "Well, you be principled, that's government money. Don't take that money. That money's been stolen." There's a few out there that would, but nobody, if they get the check in the mail for $1,600 or $600, whatever the check is going to be. And I do not believe that the Democrats are ever going to stop it. But the Democrats, at least now, are trying to mix it up a bit and say they're responsible people, because we're going to raise the taxes and help pay for this. And just just like the unintended consequences of, you know, passing out welfare caused the people not to want to go back to work. When they see these checks coming, the people are going to not spend it the way the government thinks they're going to spend it or want them to spend it, because they're totally divorced from the market forces. And of course, Chris, that's what we want to promote. Point out where the problems are and show that it has nothing to do with profiteering or union wages or anything like that. It has to do with government spending money, big government, Federal Reserve, you know, inflationism that they preach and everybody seems to accept. So this is our job, because right now, you know, yes, this is going to end. It's just transitory, but watch out for where it goes as it transitions into another level.
Right, Dr. Paul, and lockdowns and inflation are like a 1-2 punch towards the poor and the middle class. Obviously, the lockdowns threw out so many people out of business. Their economic lives were turned upside down by law. And now they're going to get hit with inflation, and inflation always hits the poorest, the hardest, and the middle class, because people with sufficient means can cut back on stuff, you know? But what if most of your money, most of your means goes towards paying for food? Where are you gonna cut? Food? I mean, most of your money's going towards it. You can't cut. So it's one thing to take people's money through taxes, but once you start taking their food, you know, people act differently when there's food in their stomach and when it's not. They get restless. So the Fed is trapped, as all central planners always end up, because if they keep rates at zero, where they are, or near zero, they ultimately risk destroying the dollar completely and hyperinflation. Mm-hmm. However, if they raise rates, then they could crash this entire fictional bubble that has been created. The last time they tried to raise rates, they only got to about 2%, and everything started to fall apart, and they backpedaled, they went back to zero. So there is no good outcome for them. No matter what they do, an economic crisis is staring them in the face, and this is why we always say you do not want central planners. You cannot have somebody you know, print money just out of thin air and have politicians hand it out. It's a failed system, and now we're paying the price for it.
Very, very good. And, you know, the conditions that have been created with good intentions by some, but out of desperation by others, the households now are 34% of their income is dependent on direct payments from the government. And this is not a sign that we're going to get back to a productive economy. It means there'll be more demands, and there's many that come around to the belief that they have a right to this. That's the job of the government. The government's responsibility is to take care of our needs and make sure that we have everything we need. But they won't entertain the thought that, well, maybe the people are having trouble because their cost of living is too high. Their salaries are going down. You know, if somebody marched in and said they, which they did in the 1970s, they had price controls and wage controls and trying to correct the problem. Well, that didn't go over so well. So the whole purpose of the inflation, they know what they're doing. They want the wages have to come down because, you know, the market can't produce enough to give these high wages. So they get the nominal wage up and they lower the real wage, just like they do this on purpose to lower the real debt of the country, the real debt of the country at what is it, $28 trillion. You can cut it back by just devaluing the dollar. So we're on a course of devaluation. The dollar is weaker now than it is right now. And we haven't mentioned it yet, but we really have to include the equation of what gold is telling us too. I'm a firm believer that over many, many years, the Federal Reserve and the Treasury, the government, make sure that they watch the price of gold, because it is an indicator that they're messing up, that there's too much spending and too much printing, and you better watch it, because this higher gold price might lead to inflation. You know, they get the whole thing twisted. So I always marveled at the fact that they kept, you know, the price of gold, the exchange rate between dollars and gold from 1933 up to 1975 at $35 an ounce. That's real price fixing, but it broke down. And right now, I do believe these last several years, the government's been in there, but there's a point where they can't do it anymore. The government, the economy becomes too strong. So this bursting through the $1,800 level, and gold in these last couple of days have been soaring. If my theory is right, when or will the Fed step in? Well, you're not sure. It depends on how strong the market is, because they eventually have to cave in and say, well, we can't get away with buying the gold and fixing the price. And so it's going to continue. But it wouldn't surprise me, though, somewhere down the road, if the conditions get very, very chaotic, like what they did in the 30s, they actually confiscated the gold. So this is the regulations. They mess up by violating the rules of economics, and they come in and they think they can correct it by regulations. That's exactly what the Fed does all the time. They cause all the imperfections of the marketplace. And just think, their biggest regulator in the world probably is our Federal Reserve System. If they regulate all the mistakes, that'll take care of it. And it really doesn't, because it just adds more fuel to the fire, and the economy becomes weaker. So our goal, of course, is to point out that the answer can't be found in the Congress spending more money, can't be found in deficit. It has to be found in sound economic rules, and that is to understand that free markets work much better and sound money works much better. But people have to, before they get very far into that, they have to grasp the idea, what's it like to live in a free society, and what's it like to have sound money? The founders started with a lousy currency, the continental dollar, which gave them total havoc. So they wanted to avoid that, and that's why they said only gold and silver could be legal tender. But that hasn't worked out so well, because they don't follow the rules. And if the rules were followed and people understood this, I mean, it would be such a delight to see prosperity. And guess what they'd have to throw in on this? They'd have to give up a little bit of spending. Well, the welfare state. But what about the welfare to the military-industrial complex? What about this whole concept that you get out of a depression by starting a war? So that this is the kind of so-called side benefits. The real benefits of a free society is a lot more peace and a lot more prosperity. Chris.
Right, Dr. Paul, I will finish up. Understanding the ideas of liberty is like a double-edged sword. On the one hand, we're chroniclers of the downfall of central planning and bad government policy. But on the other hand, you know, we're able to see things clearly and be able to anticipate. So the question is always, well, what do we do? We can't just sit and complain all the time. And the answer is, there is no one size fits all solution. We're all different. What I do is going to be different than what Dr. Paul and Daniel does. We're in different circumstances. We have different things in front of us, different resources. But unfortunately, what most people want is a one size fits all. And they run to politicians. Tell us what to do. Give us the one solution for all of us. And of course, there isn't any. Everything the government does will just make things worse, just like this over this last year. Every move they made things worse. So what we hope to do is to help you think and anticipate. You know, what is likely is, when prices rise, people will clamor to the politicians and they're going to want price controls. Force prices down by law. Well, what that will do is create shortages. Instead of being able to buy something at a higher price, you're not going to be able to buy it at all. That's how it works. And once that happens, once there's shortages, there's a very likelihood that they're going to start rationing. So we'll be given the story each step of the way here. Hopefully, the ideas that we share with you will help you to anticipate in your own personal situation, to at least soften the blow as much as possible.
Very good. You know, Warren Buffett is a well-known investor. He's considered to be brilliant. He's very, very wealthy. His dad was a congressman and a libertarian at heart and a hard money person, and Warren Buffett denied. He said, I don't want any part of that. But Warren Buffett knows a lot about financing, and right now his tone has changed. He is concerned about inflation. There's inflation out there. He just had one of his annual meetings, and he expressed some views that maybe has contributed to more golds buying this past week. But he has a yardstick that he uses, and his yardstick is telling him that things are way out of whack, and it's one of his ways of measuring inflation. What he does is he compares the total value of the equity markets with the total value of the economic system. And during the dot-com bubble, the ratio was 188%. So the equity market was pretty big and was 188% of the whole economy. And he at that time, and he even really now says, that is way out of whack. That means stocks are too high. You know, it's the old saying that people use sometimes, gold doesn't back up the dollar, it's the economy that backs up. And there's some truth to that, but he's emphasizing that if you have an economy, but you have the equity markets, the so-called value of it, way out of the economic production, it's not going to work. So when he got that 188% comparison back with the dot-com bubble, that's 20 years ago or so, it's now, he measures it, and it comes out 270%, tremendous increase, and it's 40% greater than it was at the top of the dot-com bubble. Now, not too many people have followed that. I think it makes sense. I pay attention to Warren Buffett because he made enough sense to make money within the so-called Keynesian system and the fiat system. But right now, he says this thing's out of control. He claims there'll be answers, probably not as quite as bold as Yellen and Powell claims that they can do it. We have tools and we'll use them. I don't know whether he's that confident, but I think people shouldn't ignore what Buffett is saying. And he has adjusted his portfolio with this in mind. But ultimately, the portfolio of everybody is, you know, at risk. And of course, the portfolio that I'm most concerned about is the exaggeration of what happened this past year and a half under the so-called contrived epidemic, COVID epidemic, how much trouble we have here and the reason they could take away our liberties and crash the economy. Well, that's the real threat, and that's the crash that we have to be cautious about, because even though right now, thank goodness, there's a little bit of softening of that tyrannical approach to our children by locking them out of school and making them wear some mask and all that other stuff, that and there's a little bit of an improvement. How long is it going to last? What if the economy does really turn down? And they want to distract from the economy going down because of the spending and the Fed, that they will then have another crisis, some type of a war crisis, war against a virus, a war against somebody else. So, gee, besides, we're being taught right now why we have to have a war with China, or some nonsense like that. So, yes, that's the real downturn that I worry about, and that is removing the ability of people to take care of themselves, because I think right now, even today, with all the debt and all the problem, if we just said, go to it, we're keep taking our hands off, we're not going to print any more money, we're not going to run up any more debt, there's going to be a lot of bankruptcies, and it's going to last for a year. And then by that time, then you don't have an income tax, you have sound money, and you have free market economies, and we have a desire by our people once again, I guess I'll start taking care of myself. The conditions don't seem so bad. That's my daydream, I have to admit. But believe me, the way we're going now, I think the biggest threat to us is our loss of liberties, and we've just experienced this past year, and that has continued, because there, you know, they may soften up on the regulations and the approach to our personal habits and to conduct, but they're not going to back off. So the whole goal in my life is to try to do my best in understanding and promote the cause of liberty, because I do believe that is the road to peace and prosperity. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.